Thank you all for joining us here at I-80 Sports, where today we're recapping the first few games in the Stanley Cup playoffs, as well as other news and notes around the NHL. Thank you all for joining us here again at I-80 Sports. Make sure you check us out down below at I-80.com. And we have so much content there. We have been covering NFL, MLS. We've been going crazy with that coverage in the offseason for the NFL. And as the MLS is rolling along as we speak. But we're here for bigger things today. And you want to check out our NHL content. That's why you're here. You can check out all of our previous videos down there, as well as on our YouTube channel. And while you're here, make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe if you have not done so already. Every little bit helps. But speaking of every little bit helping, besides my English skills, make sure you check out our Twitter at I80_SportsNHL. Road to 1,000 is still on, keeping up and up and up into the 900s now, and we'd love for you to join us. So if you've not followed us on Twitter yet so far, got to make sure you do. But it's time to talk some NHL. I'm Brian. He's Tom. Tom, how are you doing today?
Doing well. We've had a pretty good start to these playoffs. I must say, I'm very impressed with just about everything I've seen. I mean, I don't think there's been a barn burner or a blow. I mean, there's been a barn burner, excuse me. There hasn't been a blowout or a game that you just say, to hell with this, I want to turn it off. Everything's been pretty interesting so far. I really like what I'm seeing. So hopefully we can continue on with that for the next couple of weeks and the next 2 months, right into the Stanley Cup.
Playoff hockey is best hockey. That's the way I can put it. But before we get into our playoff hockey and our recaps for that, we're going to talk some NHL news to start off with. One piece of news that is unrelated to the NHL playoffs, and two that are very, very relevant to the NHL playoffs, as you're going to find out. So first one, this is a quick shout out to our friend Bex over on the other side of the world, because she is a diehard Red Wings fan, but I don't know how much of a fan she is of this particular move. It's something I'm definitely going to have to check up with her on at some point. But the Detroit Red Wings have extended head coach Jeff Blashill. And there's no word on terms at all. But this has been a struggling Red Wings organization for the past few years now. It's been an extended rebuild for about 4+ years at this point. Tom, do you feel like this was the right move for the Red Wings?
You know what? I think so. Let's just harken back to something you just said, extended rebuild. And the thing is right now, Blashill, you know, they're still a rebuilding team. Blashill's a rebuilding coach. There's people, Detroit fans, I read in comments and articles and stuff going nuts over, well, why aren't they bringing in Gallant? Or why aren't they bringing in Tockett or even Babcock? I mean, Babcock was a positive in Detroit. But, you know, those three guys, Gallant and Babcock, per se, they want to go to teams that are, you know, looking to take that next step and win a Stanley Cup. They're not looking to go to a rebuilder. And, you know, I mean, maybe Tockett or Tortorella might have been a good choice, but at the same time, why would you fire a coach of a team that really, I wouldn't say was terrible this year. They weren't great, but, I mean, they were a little bit better than expected. But just at the same time, you know, they're still rebuilding. They don't have, like, they don't have that, you know, that first overall pick in place yet. They don't have those pieces in place yet, is what I'm trying to get at here. They don't have those pieces in place yet, so I guess it does make sense to keep him around for that. You know, they're not looking to take the next step yet. They had a little bit of a better year than people expected this past season, but at the same time, they're not ready to take the next step yet. So, I mean, I think keeping Blashill around, no harm, no foul.
Not ready to take the next step yet. I think it's no harm, no foul. I agree with you, Tom, in this regard. I think there's a lot to keep in mind for this growing Red Wings team. You're currently building around a core of young players in, you know, a potential elite forward in Dylan Larkin, as well as Filip Zadina, and the recently debuted Joe Valeno, who was the 30th overall pick a few years ago in a deep draft for the Detroit Red Wings. Also, do not forget about the SHL's Defenseman of the Year, Moritz Seider, this past year, who is also a Red Wings prospect, who is probably going to make the jump to the NHL next year. Joe Valeno also made the jump to the NHL late this year, as well as recently as a few weeks ago. And Zadina has been a mainstay for the Red Wings for a while now. These, you know, core four players are the building blocks for the Red Wings going forward, as well as acquisitions in Jacob Vrana as well could be a potential building block if he decides to stay in Detroit. But we're just going to have to see how things roll out. I think it is worth giving Blashill an extra look to see what he can do with this young core as they develop. He has been a decent developmental coach for Detroit, albeit it has been a long rebuild, but you've also changed hands in terms of general manager in the middle of that. So that's something to also keep in mind in this as well. Moving right along in terms of news, we are moving on to news from the Stanley Cup playoffs, which, unless you're living under a rock, you may have heard a pretty important forward for the Tampa Bay Lightning has recently come back just in time for the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that name is, of course, Nikita Kucherov. But interestingly enough, with the addition of Nikita Kucherov to the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Lightning are now over $5 million over the salary cap. So this kind of begs a question that has kind of got the league buzzing at the moment. And Tom, I want your input on this one too. Should the Lightning be penalized for going over the cap? We've seen penalties like this before, as the league has been quick to penalize the New Jersey Devils when they went over the cap with Ilya Kovalchuk. Is this another one of those offenses? What do you think, Tom?
You know what? As of right now, no, it isn't, because there's no rule against it, because the cap doesn't count in the playoffs. So they didn't do anything wrong. So right now, no, I don't think they should be penalized for it. They held him out. They pulled what I call a Brian Burke. If you remember back in 07-08 with Anaheim, he actually held Scott Niedermeyer and Teemu Selanne out most of the year until guys got hurt or he could move guys out, and then brought them back in halfway through the season to fit them under the cap. So this is just your classic cap circumvention. This will probably be talked about in the next CBA. And then after they talk about it, make a new rule, somebody will find another way around it.
Yeah, it's true. And this is another one of those loophole situations where you kind of just shrug your shoulders and you're just like, well, I guess it's allowed. It's not really said in the rules. But I do understand why fans are up in arms about this. I do understand why there are those fans that are saying, hey, how is this allowed when he hasn't played all season and now he's allowed to, but now it's okay that they're not in cap compliance. The one thing to keep in mind with this, though, is they're going to be out of cap compliance once the playoffs are done. So they still need to figure out how to shed cap once they get to the offseason. There might be a slew of moves that could be upcoming. Blake Coleman is set to become an unrestricted free agent. They're probably not going to be able to hold on to one or two other of their main forwards, such as Alex Killorn. So those are two names that could very well be moving out of Tampa Bay. And for Tampa Bay, that's pretty huge, because Blake Coleman has been a fantastic contributor for the Tampa Bay Lightning in the past year and a half, especially in their Stanley Cup win from last year. And Alex Killorn has been a mainstay in the top nine for the Tampa Bay Lightning for the past 3 years now. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens for the Tampa Bay Lightning going forward. Now, speaking of the Tampa Bay Lightning, the playoffs have recently gotten underway, which we'll be talking about just in a minute, but we had quite an event happen in the very first game of the Florida-Tampa Bay matchup. We said that this was going to be the series to watch, and there was some hockey played, but there was also a lot of extracurricular activity, such as Sam Bennett going a little overboard on a boarding on Blake Coleman of the Tampa Bay Lightning, which results in a one-game suspension for Sam Bennett. And for the Florida Panthers, this comes at a really rough time. Sam Bennett has been fantastic for the Florida Panthers. Namely, he has the most amount of points in a 10-game stretch in their entire franchise history, with 15 points in 10 games. That's more than Pavel Bure, who is the person that he beat for that, interestingly enough, to wrap up the season. Tom, how is this going to impact Florida for game two?
Going to impact them a lot. You're losing one of your depth guys, one of your better centers, and you know, somebody who's really been on fire since he's gotten there. As we've seen, experience showed that it can win games, and experience showed it won, how it can win games, and it won it in game one. So with Coleman out of the lineup, they have to stick somebody out. They have to stick somebody else in there. They have to stick some more inexperience out there, and you know, it could be Tampa's shot to take a two-game lead with him out of the lineup. You know, it's one of their more experienced, like I said, I keep saying experience over and over again, but it's true. He's one of their more experienced guys, and he's been one of their best players. And now you're taking him out of the lineup, and Tampa, who is 1 year off the Stanley Cup and found ways to win game one, now has an easier chance to do it in game two.
Yeah, and it's true. And you can't give Tampa Bay an inch because they will take a mile, as they have shown in playoff series in the past. This is a very experienced playoff team at this point. I think it's safe to say that Tampa Bay is the real deal. Florida, although we may favor them in a lot of ways, they're relatively unproven. And there's a good chunk of this lineup that has not really seen any kind of true playoff experience, including the likes of superstars like Alexander Barkov and Jonathan Huberdeau. So for them, this is kind of their real taste. For others like Sergei Bobrovsky, maybe not so much. But at the same time, this is a huge blow to the Florida Panthers, especially because of the production that Sam Bennett has given the Florida Panthers in this lead up to the playoffs. It's the main reason why that they are the number two seed over Tampa Bay in this particular playoff series and have that home ice advantage. So we're going to see how this impacts Florida for game two. We'll be able to recap that going forward, which, speaking of recaps, well, the Stanley Cup playoffs has officially begun, and well, we had some interesting things go on, so let's recap a little bit. So here's your East recap to start off with: the number one Pittsburgh Penguins versus the number four New York Islanders. The Islanders take a 1-0 lead in the series after a 4-3 overtime win in Pittsburgh. And then the second series in the East, the number two Washington Capitals versus the number three Boston Bruins. The series is now tied 1-1. The Capitals win game one, 3-2 in overtime, and the Bruins take game two, 4-3 in overtime as well. Moving on to the Central Division, the number one Carolina Hurricanes versus the number four Nashville Predators. Not surprising, the Hurricane are leading this series 1-0 after a 5-2 win against Nashville. And the other series in the Central Division, the number two Florida Panthers versus the number three Tampa Bay Lightning, as we were alluding to before. Tampa Bay leads 1-0 after a physical 5-4 win in Florida. And then lastly, our Western recap, the number one Colorado Avalanche versus the number four St. Louis Blues. The Avalanche currently lead that series 1-0, not surprising, after a 4-1 win against the St. Louis Blues. And the second matchup of that series, the number two Vegas Golden Knights versus the number three Minnesota Wild. The Wild lead the series 1-0 after a 1-0 overtime win in Vegas. One big thing to note right now, the Canadian Division first round actually starts tomorrow, Wednesday, May 19th. The number two Edmonton Oilers versus the number three Winnipeg Jets will start us off tomorrow on May 19th, where the number one seed Toronto Maple Leafs will have to wait to face the number four seed Montreal Canadiens until Thursday, May 20th. So we'll be giving you our Canadian recap next week. So quite a bit of information that we just dumped. We had a lot of overtime victories in just the first couple games of the playoffs. It's exciting to see. It's awesome to see. No seven overtime wins yet, so you know, hold your horses there. No seventh period stretch just yet, as we had in the Columbus and Toronto matchup last year. But who knows? Playoffs only get crazier and crazier. So, Tom, what's the biggest surprise of the first round for you so far?
To tell you the truth, I thought that St. Louis and Colorado game last night would have been a little bit closer. With all the smack that St. Louis was talking, with the experience they had, I thought that maybe they would go into Colorado and shock them. Really, the other way around. St. Louis had come back to tie the game after Colorado went up 1-0. And you figure 1-1 in the third period with St. Louis and all their talking that they're doing, you figured their experience may have shown. Totally the other way around. Colorado, who maybe has a little less experience, came out there and really took a 2-0 in the third period last night. Especially their top line of Mikko Rantanen, Gabriel Landeskogin, one of my all-time favorites, Nathan MacKinnon. They really went out there. They took over the game last night. It looked like a team that's been doing this for a while, that's won championships, that's been in the playoffs. And let's face it, they haven't. But they showed it last night. They showed what they can do out there. And that really was a big statement game for Colorado Avalanche last night, I must say.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, I definitely got to say that the surprise for me was the goalie matchup in game one of the Vegas Minnesota series. I mean, it was an absolute shootout in that first game, in an overtime victory for the Minnesota Wild, surprisingly. Cam Talbot coming up huge with 42 saves for a shutout for Minnesota. But that's no knock on Marc-Andre Fleury, who, fun fact, 17th straight season playing in a playoff series. That is an NHL record for him. Congratulations to him on his multiple accolades this season. He is certainly a potential Hall of Fame worthy goaltender at this point in his career, and his career is not even done yet. And Vegas just couldn't get the offense rolling in this game. They lost 1-0. They couldn't get anything going on Cam Talbot. One big difference maker to me in this game for Minnesota, a lot of people are quick to point out Erickson Ek because he is the guy who picked up the goal for the Minnesota Wild in that game winner. To me, the difference maker to me was Jordan Greenway. Jordan Greenway, not only did this 6'6" winger pick up the assist on Erickson Ek's goal, but he also registered 11 hits on the night. The dude is an absolute Mack truck, and he has been winning battles for Minnesota. He's been, you know, getting some crucial takeaways for Minnesota and just making an overall impact in the game and throwing off a very speedy Vegas team. So if you can be that difference maker, you know, Minnesota could be that surprise team that everybody could be talking about by the end of this playoffs. Maybe that Cinderella story. We'll just have to see as these playoffs roll on. So that being said, with the playoffs rolling on, what's to watch for this week as we continue the first round? Tom, I'll start with you. What are we going to be looking for in the rest of this first round when we recap next week?
Well, we have our classic series starting this week with the Leafs and the Habs. And I mean, even though I think the Leafs are going to take this series, it's just, you know, just something cool to watch. You know, traditionally, you know, they're rivals, maybe the oldest rivalry in the league. And I've mentioned this in previous episodes, you know, they're just, it's just going to be fun to watch just to see the two duking it out in playoff hockey. It hasn't happened since 1979. It really hasn't been meaningful since 1967. The Edmonton-Winnipeg series should be fun, too, with McDavid out there just to see what the Oilers can do. Can they finally get over the hump this year? I still don't think they can, but maybe I'll be wrong. And this Florida-Tampa series, that game won on Sunday night, that was everything you could have wanted in a hockey game. That was everything you could have asked for. And I just hope I hope it keeps going for seven games. I really, really do. It was really something fun to watch the other night. And I hope that we get six more fun-filled games to watch.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more in regards to Tampa Bay and Florida. When they're actually playing hockey, it's a fun series to watch. There was a lot going on in game one for Tampa Bay and Florida, and it's so far it is meeting our expectations and more. So if you have one series to watch for the remainder of this playoffs, go and watch that Tampa Bay and Florida series. It is can't miss hockey for sure. Another series that I wanted to point out, because Tom mentioned that this could be a series that goes to distance. Now, on paper, the series that I'm about to discuss seems underwhelming on paper compared to the other series that we have discussed so far. But the New York Islanders versus the Pittsburgh Penguins, that is another series that could very well go the distance. Now, the key here is going to be how Tristan Jarry ends up responding in net for Pittsburgh. He let a lot of things slide on his glove hand side, which was all the difference for New York in their win in overtime 4-3 in game one. Now, if Pittsburgh can respond back, we could be seeing a good back and forth series between New York and Pittsburgh. The other series I want to point out as well that's already going tit for tat is Washington and Boston. This is just old time hockey. This is Zdeno Chara, the former captain of the Boston Bruins, facing his old team in the first round. It's a fun matchup, and we are seeing the benefits of Washington picking up Anthony Mantha as well in that deadline deal with the Detroit Red Wings. So there's going to be a lot to watch for that series. And just overall, man, it just feels so good that playoff hockey is back. It's awesome to be watching playoff hockey in May, and we're going to be, you know, bringing all this action to you as the playoffs go on and on and on all the way through to the Stanley Cup in June. And we're just happy to give it to you. But before we leave you guys today, it is time, as usual, for our question of the week, which our question of the week this week is, which number one or two seed is likeliest to be upset by the underdog? So the question is, which number one or two seed is likeliest to lose to the number three or four seed? Tom, I'll start with you. What do you think?
Right now, unfortunately, and I hate to say this as a Ranger fan, but all the signs are pointing to the Islanders taking Pittsburgh out. The game on Sunday kind of just was a microcosm of what's happened with those teams over the years and what happened with them back in 2019. You know, Pittsburgh was in control of that game multiple times. The Islanders kept coming back. You know, Pittsburgh relied on their stars, Carter and Crosby, a few times to get them goals. They did, but it didn't matter. The end of the day, the Islanders still pulled it out in overtime on a almost impossible short side goal by Kyle Pulmary. And just the way it's setting up right now, if you know trends keep going the way they are, you know the Penguins are going home for another early spring. And who's in charge over there now? And Brian Burke is not going to let things stand pat. I can tell you that right now. So I hope I'm wrong, but right now I hate to say it to all my Penguin fan friends out there. Excuse me. It's just it doesn't look good after one game. Alas, it is only one game. There's still three more before the series is over and possibly more than that, depending on who wins what. So we'll see. And they have a chance to right the ship tonight. In another 15 minutes, their game starts. So we shall see.
Yeah, it's true. And I absolutely agree that Pittsburgh is a likely team to potentially get upset here. I alluded to Tristan Jarry before. If he can't figure out that glove side, that could be all the difference for New York. The other big difference maker here, New York plays four lines deep, whereas I also feel like they're a little bit deeper in their forward core than Pittsburgh. That being said, I think the quality of the top stars for Pittsburgh is of a higher quality than New York's. I think New York is also currently missing Anders Lee in a big way in a series like this to be the difference maker. So that is also another factor in this series. But New York could be the underdog here to take out Pittsburgh. The other series to watch, just based on the numbers right now, Vegas is down 1-0. They need to respond in game two to Minnesota to really show why they are a Stanley Cup favorite, especially in my eyes right now. So Vegas, get things clicking, please. But they need to get their offense clicking here against Minnesota. Cam Talbot stood on his head for Minnesota in game one. We'll see if he can replicate that same performance in game two. And it's going to be difficult. This Vegas team is deep. They've got younger players that are starting to make the breakthrough and make the difference for them, namely Zach Whitecloud. So we'll see if names like that start to get it going for the Vegas Golden Knights. Another name to watch come playoff time, as per usual with Vegas, like it's been many, many years, but still for Vegas, one name that always seems to reemerge in playoff time is Riley Smith. Riley Smith is a person to watch in the playoffs this year for Vegas, as he always has been for me. If you're one of those people that likes to play individual matchups on FanDuel, Riley Smith is absolutely a person that you want to try to get into those lineups, because he usually produces pretty well in games that count. So he is a player that I would make a point going out and picking up in those FanDuel matchups. But what do you guys think? What do you guys think are some things to watch?
One more thing, guys. Breaking news. 9 minutes ago, City of Montreal just approved 2,500 fans can go into the Bell Center starting on May 28th. Breaking news.
And that is going to be huge playoff news for the Montreal Canadiens and just Canadian fans in general. Fans are coming back. The world is healing. Hockey fans are coming back to the stadiums. And one last note, it was awesome to see a packed stadium in Carolina the other night. It was an amazing sight to see. I got goosebumps watching just to see how riled up those fans were to watch playoff hockey, and it's a great sight to see. But make sure you do it safely. Make sure that you are doing everything you can to stay safe and keep your family safe and friends safe as well. But that's going to just about do it for us. What do you guys think about our recap of the playoffs? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Make sure that you comment down below. Join the conversation with us on YouTube and on our website, i80sports.com, where you can find all of our videos in case you can't find them on YouTube. And While you're on this YouTube page, if you could drop a like on this video and subscribe for more NHL content and other sports content such as NFL, MLS, and NBA coverage, you got to make sure you check us out here. We're keeping you guys up to date with all the sports around the country and around the world. And as per usual, make sure you drop a follow up for us on Twitter at @i80_sportsNHL. The road to 1,000 is on. You better hop on before it's too late. If you're not following already, make sure you follow down below and join the conversation on Twitter as well. But I'm Brian. He's been Tom, as always. It's playoff hockey time, and you got to make sure you check us out going forward. This has been i80 Sports NHL.